Have you had any good meetings lately? It seems like you could fill an entire library with the business books written every year on how to have effective meetings. But most of those focus on group meetings, while arguably the most important meetings you'll have in your working life are one-on-one. That's why Steven Rogelberg wrote the new book, Glad We Met, The Art and Science of One-on-One Meetings. Steven is a professor of organizational science, management, and psychology at UNC Charlotte. He's the editor of the Journal of Business and Psychology and the Talent Management Essentials book series. Our curator, Adam Grant, says Steven knows more about how to improve meetings than anyone on earth. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hello, this is Steven Rogelberg. I am Chancellor's Professor at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, and author of Glad We Met, The Art and Science of One-on-One Meetings. I am very excited to share five key insights from the book with you today. Before doing so, let me provide some background information to set the stage. I've been studying teams, leadership, and meetings at work for decades. This research has involved many different data samples and methodologies, all designed to garner evidence-based insights to transform day-to-day pain points into valuable and meaningful time. Of most relevance here is my newest research on improving one-on-one meetings that involves well over 1,000 leaders and direct reports around the globe, and interviews with top leaders at highly successful Fortune 100 organizations, ranging from Google to Facebook to PepsiCo to Warner Brothers to Chase Bank. Using conservative estimates, leveraging published calendar data, there are approximately 200 million one-on-one meetings a day around the globe, costing well over $350 billion each year, based on just time and wages. One-on-ones are meetings orchestrated by the manager, but for the direct report. Successful one-on-ones address the direct's tactical and practical needs around getting work done effectively, but there's so much more. These meetings fundamentally influence a direct's experience at work and their manager, including how they engage and attach to the role and envision their future at the organization. One-on-ones also promote manager success. Namely, managers are judged by the success and achievements of those they lead, and one-on-ones elevate the performance of directs and the team more broadly. Ultimately, the best managers recognize that one-on-ones are not an add-on to the role. Conducting one-on-ones successfully are foundational to being a manager. In many regards, these one-on-ones are where leadership really happens in a deep and meaningful way. However, our research suggests the potential of one-on-ones is not being reached. Namely, around 50% of employees indicate that their one-on-ones were suboptimal. Clearly not the return on investment that we desire. And the problem will not resolve itself on its own, as managers generally believe they are good at running their one-on-ones, even when their directs don't report the same positive feelings. Thus, a managerial blind spot exists. And to make matters worse, I've only found one organization of the hundreds I've surveyed that provides meaningful training on the topic of one-on-ones to leaders, despite its incredible importance. Clearly, this is an example of an organizational blind spot. This is where Glad We Met steps in as the first book I know of that deeply explores the topics of one-on-ones leveraging science. It's designed to increase managerial self-awareness, level up skills, and share critical paths to elevating the one meeting type that should not be an email. And now, time for five key insights. I organize them as three insights for leaders, one insight for directs, and one insight for organizations more broadly. Insight one, talk less, listen more. The biggest predictor of one-on-one value I have found in my research is the direct report's active participation as measured by the amount of time they talk during the meeting relative to the manager. Stated differently, the biggest predictor of ineffectiveness was a manager talking more than the direct. The ideal balance appears to be the direct speaking anywhere between 50 to 90% of the time. While the agenda will dictate some of this, of course, the manager should actively avoid talking more than the direct. This is not as easy as it sounds, given research showing that talking about ourselves fires up the same brain areas as sex and good food. We talk about ourselves because it feels good, but resist the temptation. As part of this, encourage your direct to share solutions to problems they bring to you rather than just sharing yours. But here's the key point. If the direct solution does not fully align with yours, but it's still viable, go with their idea, even if you think yours is a bit better. If you think there's a large gap in quality between your idea and theirs and the consequences of a wrong solution are high, then it's reasonable to push back. But if that's not the case, accepting the direct's idea conveys that you trust them and their judgment and promotes more commitment from the direct to take action and persevere in the face of obstacles. If the solution does not work out down the road, you can certainly debrief together and try something different. If it does work, however, it's a win-win for both of you. I don't want you to think that you can't share your point of view in a one-on-one. You certainly can and should, but pick your battles and be reasonable to avoid demotivating your directs. Insight 2. Meet every week or every other week. The science tells us this meeting frequency will maximize the positive gains of one-on-ones. Gallup, for example, studied the engagement levels of 2.5 million manager-led teams around the world. They found that, on average, only 15% of employees who work for a manager who does not meet with them regularly are engaged. Managers who regularly meet with their employees almost tripled that level of engagement. Can a monthly meeting model still work? Yes, kinda, not really. With one-on-ones more than every 2 weeks apart, the time lag usually makes feedback and conversations less timely. Namely, with monthly meetings, there's a tremendous recency bias. This bias leads to discussions of what recently happened rather than earlier happenings during the monthly period, as recent events are just easier to recall. Finally, one-on-ones are most effective when they build off each other in a timely manner. As you create momentum around developmental areas or desired actions, continuity and momentum suffer with long time lags between one-on-ones. What is interesting is that not only is weekly and the bi-weekly approach associated with the best outcomes, but this is actually what is most desired by employees when surveyed. And contrary to the feedback and attention-seeking stereotypes around the younger generation, data suggest that more senior employees desire the most one-on-ones with their manager. Insight 3. An agenda of sorts is indeed needed. Many managers assume that one-on-ones are too informal for an agenda, but my research underscores that having a simple plan of action is a strong predictor of the effectiveness of one-on-one, whether it's created in advance or at the meeting itself. But even more critical is the direct report's involvement in its creation. Both directs, reports, and managers rated meetings highest when the direct report created the agenda, whether they did so alone or in conjunction with the manager. The simplest agenda-building model, which also received high ratings of effectiveness, is called the listing approach. It involves the direct and manager separately creating a list of topics to discuss. Then, at the meeting, the direct works through their list first, followed by the manager working through their list. And, of course, areas of overlap tend to get called out. Alternatively, I did identify a number of managers taking a different approach and finding success. Namely, these managers organized the one-on-one through the following simple questions. 1. How are you? 2. What would you like to talk about today? 3. Any problems, concerns that you would like to talk through? And 4. Anything I can help you with or support you more on? I do want to comment quickly on the how are you question and share a useful alternative. Questions like this typically elicit quick, socially ingrained answers. Fine, pretty good, great. They just don't tend to inspire more thought and reflection. There's an intriguing tweak, however, grounded in research, that can make a general check-in question like this yield deeper insights. Here's what it looks like. You ask, take a moment and think about what's going on in your life and at work. Based on that, how are things going for you? Or taking into consideration everything going on for you at the moment, how are you showing up today? The twist. The direct has to answer using a 10-point rating scale, from 0 being very poorly to 10 being very good. You will tend to inspire more thought, and the response you get back will give you something to explore. For example, tell me more. Why are you feeling like a 6 today? What's going on? The additional candor and depth are key to a great one-on-one. Before leaving this tip, there is a key caution I want to broach. Both the core question approach and the listing approach I mentioned tend to privilege immediate tactical issues and fires to be put out. This is somewhat problematic, as we don't want one-on-ones to just fall into a status update trap. Thus, when the direct or the manager are selecting areas of discussion, periodically commit to weaving in longer horizon topics such as career planning and developmental opportunities. To aid in this effort, a few strategies can be used. One, dedicate 5 to 10 minutes at every meeting to something not tactical. Or two, dedicate 1 meeting out of every 4 to address longer horizon issues. Or three, consider the use of a meeting template that always contains a longer term item. This approach assures that the one-on-one covers a range of topics over time and does not become predictable or stale. All right, let's switch to the direct report perspective now. A one-on-one is a dance of sorts. There may be one person leading, but clearly this is not enough. Both parties have a critical role in putting the dance together. Each party shapes the one-on-one and is responsible for a success or failure. The direct does not play a passive role in one-on-ones. They play an active role in making these meetings truly effective. Insight 4 for the direct report. Know what you need and ask for help. You can't get what you want out of one-on-ones unless you first know what you want. What are your top issues and topics to discuss? What are your pressing needs? Don't get bogged down by superficial topics or details or things you think should be talked about. Figure out your meaningful short and long-term needs, hopes, and goals. Your clarity of purpose helps you prioritize and organize your talking points and questions. This will ultimately increase the chances of the one-on-one truly giving you what you need. Also, throughout all this, keep in mind what we know about help seeking. Seeking help from others is crucial when taking on new challenges, confronting obstacles, consistently working under pressure to meet deadlines, and disentangling nebulous tasks and expectations. Help-seeking behaviors have been categorized by social psychologists into 2 main types: autonomous help-seeking and dependent help-seeking. Autonomous help-seeking refers to individuals seeking information that enables them to independently accomplish tasks and solve problems on their own. This tends to promote long-term independence. Dependent help-seeking, on the other hand, refers to searching for a quick fix and an answer from someone else. This type of help-seeking conserves time and effort and leads to immediate gratification, but typically doesn't yield long-term self-sufficiency. As you might expect, job performance ratings are higher among people who are autonomous help seekers and lower among dependent help seekers. An example of a good autonomous help seeking question is, I'm having some challenges and struggles with X. I am thinking about trying Y. Would love your thoughts on that approach. What do you think? Am I missing something I should consider? I recognize that asking for help is not always an easy thing to do. However, it's made easier if you have a track record of offering help to others. For example, you can ask your manager, what are your priorities over the next X days, and what can I do to help you with this? An offer of help from you will surely be well received, although it's not the primary purpose of the one-on-one. It is a nice thing to do and can increase the chances of others stepping up to help you, as helping begets helping. Final insight, number 5, is for organizations to help create managerial self-awareness. As mentioned earlier, managers' self-ratings of their skills in conducting these one-on-ones appears inflated. They think they are better at doing them than what their direct says. As a rather jarring example, there was a large number of executives, 24% of the sample, that saw themselves as above average in terms of coaching skills, while their directs evaluated them in the bottom third. What a dramatic difference. My call to organizations is to actively level up one-on-one meeting skills of their managers through training and coaching, and to actively address the managerial blind spot. The best way to do the latter is to introduce a system for evaluating the effectiveness of one-on-ones so all can learn and grow. The ideal approach is to have an easy-to-use technology solution that can plug in and help leaders collect assessments from their teams anonymously around what's working well and not so well in the one-on-ones. Ultimately, by measuring, we motivate positive change. By measuring, we provide awareness. By measuring, we allow the manager to try new things in their one-on-ones and then see how things are working. Before concluding, I do want to take an intriguing but relevant detour. Although we traditionally view one-on-ones as a workplace phenomenon, they can also be an at-home phenomenon. How? A strong case can be made for doing one-on-ones of sorts with your children. Namely, meeting weekly or bi-weekly for 30 minutes or so with your child individually, where you sit down to explore what's on their mind in an intentional way, can go a long way in building relationships and promoting their thriving. Now, you may not want to put a rigid calendar hold and scheduling around these things like you would at work, to each their own, but having pointed discussions with your kids with candor and openness, always paired with kindness, can help overcome communication issues ranging from the trivial, you load the dishwasher entirely wrong, to the crucial, finances, long-term goals, career dreams, etc., and everything in between. Please note, I'm not suggesting this is the only conversation you have with your kids, just like a one-on-one is not the only conversation you would have with a direct report. That said, it serves as an intentional tool to rise above the daily fray and demands to solely focus on the other party, something that many relationships lack in some form. Overall, one-on-ones are a critical focus area for leadership success. Do they take a lot of time? Absolutely. But in some regards, not really. Meeting 30 minutes each week with one of your team members totals to around 25 hours over the course of a year. Is that truly that much time to meet with your employees given the incredible engagement and success outcomes associated with well-run one-on-ones? This recording shared a host of counsel on ways to do one-on-ones. However, it's very clear from the research that a one-size-fits-all approach is not the answer. A leader needs to pick an approach that fits them and their directs. I want to conclude by sharing a learning from the work of Adam Grant. The most effective leaders give rather than take. One-on-ones are the perfect opportunity to help others, give to others, and through both, thrive as a human being. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. That was Stephen Rogelberg with 5 Big Ideas from Glad We Met, The Art and Science of One-on-One Meetings. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.